So we're starting at the top of Amud Tet and Aleph. Here the Gemara is going to continue from the Sugya that we discussed yesterday. It says, Tana b'chulan shamin lahen ke'aris. That we always assess them like an aris, when they are yored. Right, the karov is yored, the nechsei shavui. In all these instances, we're shamin lahen ke'aris. Gemara says, ahai. This statement, on which part of the discussions that we had, does this go on? Ilema shvuyin. Right, if this goes on, the shvuyin case, hashto zariz v'niskar havo, my de ashbach miboy. In the case, we said by shvuyin yesterday, in the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rishim Gamliel, by shvuyin, the Braisa says that shvuyin, you can, first of all, that you're right, nechseif, right, the shvuyin, number one. Number two is, what's the case of shvuyin? It's a case where they're gone, medina sayam, and we hear their niftar. Right, and number three is that they hear that the Baalim are coming back. They're allowed to run in and grab as much as they can before the Baalim come back. So if we're going to say that they can run in and grab as much as they can before the Baalim come back, then certainly, right, it's certainly in the case where we're going to talk about them getting compensated, Karis, of course they can get compensated like an Aris. Here they can take much more than Aris. So certainly at least the minimum as an Aris, of course they can get. Ela Aritushim. So it must be on the case of Ritushim, which is the last section of the price where everyone agrees that you're not Yoreid, and if say Ritushim. So what's very, Nechsei Ritushim is a case where he leaves voluntarily from the area, and not under duress, not going to Medina Tayyam, and we say, no, that he was of sound mind, he knew to instruct someone to go down there if he wanted, and the fact that he didn't is indicative that he doesn't want somebody in there. So Mar says, in that case, Tani, didn't we say over there that if a karov is Yoreid Nechsei, right, a person who is Ne'alam in this way, or left down, then we take it away from them. We take it all away. So we're going to take it all away, and you're going to tell me that Shemilan Karis, Ela Anitushin. Must be in the middle case of Nitushin. The middle case of Nitushin is a case where they went to Medina Tayam, but we haven't heard that they were Niftar. So there we have Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So when it says, Lama, according to whom are you saying this, that it's this case? If you're talking about the Rabbanon, Amrei Mutzinoto Miado. According to Rabbanan, Nitushim and Ritushim have the same din, which is that you're not entitled to go down there. We're going to take it away from you. If it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hamar Shamati She Nitushim Kishvuyin. If the according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Nitushim have the same exact din as Shvuyin, and we just saw by Shvuyin that the person's entitled. They hear the Baalim coming back. They're entitled to run down and grab as much as they can. So that's the case. What do you have to tell me about Aris here? Kishvuyin, velo kishvuyin. Now, when Rabbi Shimon says that I heard that Nitushim are like Shvuyim, they're like, but not totally like that. Kishvuyin, dein motzino miyado miyado. They're like Shvuyin in the sense that the person, the karov that goes down there is entitled to go down there, and we don't remove it from him. Velo kishvuyim, and it's not like the Shvuyim, de ilo hatam zoriz v'niskar. If we're over there, if he's zoriz v'niskar, he gets to keep everything that he takes. Over here, Shemin and Lake Aris. Over here, we only assign him, or we assess him the value, Ki Aris, like an Aris. So Rashi explains what's the difference between these two cases. What's the difference between Shvuyin and Nitushin? They both go, they work the land. In one of them, we're going to say, you want to jump in and grab as much as you can, go ahead, before the Baalim go back. Another one, we say, no, that we just assess you like an Aris. So what's the difference? Rashi says, in the Rashi, the very article, the Liyat of Zariz and Iskar, the Kaiman, Shishamu Shemait. When a person has heard that the Shavuy is mate, and then he goes down to Nichasim, what's on his mind when he goes down there? Ki Nochit La Adaita the Kulu Peri Nachat. When he goes down there, his intentions that he's working the land is to get the whole thing. He assumes that he's going to keep it. He says the likelihood that this under individual is coming back is very low. And I'm going down there because I assume it's going to be mine. And I'm working it for all of the peirot. So therefore, if the Baalim all of a sudden start coming back, we allow him to go and grab all the peirot, because that's really was his intention when he first started there. His intention is to get all the peirot. So he's going to lose out now because the Baalim came back. So we say to him, jump in and grab whatever peirot that you can. Aval hacha, hacha meaning in the case of nitushim, the lo shamu shemet. If we don't ever heard that they had died, then lava daita the kula nochit. He's not assuming when he goes down there that he's going down there to keep everything, because they're just not sure. Elolito keris b'choshana. He goes down there assuming that, you know what I'm going to get? I get at least, you know, I'm going to get my aris percentage out of this field, and it's worth it to me to go down there to work like an aris. Now, you know, say maybe there's a small percentage that the person doesn't come back. In that instance, I'm going to keep it. But in the meantime, I may as well do it, and I'll be like an aris in the field. So Rashi says it all has to do with the mindset of the individual going down there when we start. But what's clear from Rashi is that in both instances, you're entitled to at least the minimum ki aris. In that the base case is that you get an aris. On top of that is the shavui, one who thinks that he's mate, where he gets more, right, he gets the entire crop, or he's entitled to more because, right, that's what he's thinking when he goes down there.
There's no one else, and I'm working.
Right. I don't think I'm paying it to anybody because I don't think there's anybody around to pay. So that's Rashi's interpretation. Tosa says the problem is that he brings a lot of questions, including the next little piece in the Gemara. He doesn't understand the question. Tosfo says no, that they're actually totally two separate different cases, and that is that when you go down there to work, what we're discussing over here is not what it has to do with later on, what you're entitled to keep. Right? What we're discussing here is, what's your payment if the balim show up? Okay, if the balim show up all of a sudden, what are you going to get paid out? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Right? If the, by a mace, right, where the person thinks it's gone, when he goes to work the field, and we'll see that question in a second from the Gemara, if you go down and you get all the benefit, you get all the upside, because you're going to keep all the fruits, right, everything is going to be yours, and the Gemara says, then you're not going to pay you like an aris if things don't work out. I mean, that you got it, there's a balance here. If you keep everything, right, then we're going to say, we're not going to pay you like an aris, we're going to say that you lose everything when the balim show up. The balim show up, you lose everything because...
If you're going to be saying, if the scenario is one where you potentially could keep everything...
Or that's your das, because you think you're going down there to keep everything, then all the investments you make are with no intention of getting back any return from the balim for the investment. Your intention is the return is through the fruits and the payout. So if that's the case, if the balim are going to show up all of a sudden, that's what Tosa said, the balim are going to show up, you're not going to get paid anything because hotels, all that stuff were invested to get the fruits in the back end. So if the balim show up, you're going to get nothing. So what do we say you do? We entitle you to go and grab as much as possible beforehand, because otherwise you're going to get nothing. Because you never went down there with the intention to be an aris. On the other hand, when it comes to the case, shalosha muboshimate, that we didn't hear that he's going to die, there your intention when you go down is to be an aris. Meaning that when you go down there, if the harvest works out and you get to there, you might be able to keep everything. You might be able to, as it says, you can keep everything, go up all the fruits. Ah, so why don't we let you go run and grab everything when the balim are coming back? That's because we already assigned to you that you're going to get paid like an aris. So you're going to get at least, you're going to get that value as an aris. If you're going to get that value as an aris, then we don't say to you, go and grab everything, because we know that you're not going to lose out.
Who's going to pay the expenses in that case?
What expenses? He will, because he'll get paid out like an aris. So he'll get paid out the percentage of normally what he would get as an aris, meaning that the compensation, he'll get reimbursed for his investment by, you know, the payout of the field, the percentage of payout on the field. So that, Joseph says, that's the difference here, and what we're trying to prevent in all these instances is putting somebody in the field who's not going to work for the benefit of the field itself, but is just going to be all for themselves, and they're going to waste away all the money. So we're afraid, in the case where we are allowing, where there's no mace, we don't know that they died, and he goes down there and gets paid out like an aris, we're not worried about him wasting away the field, not investing in the field, because he knows he's going to get paid out like an aris. On the other hand, the individual goes down there when he thinks that it's mace, and he thinks that his payout is just that he's going to collect on the field, and he's not going to get reimbursed as an aris. Right? In that instance, there's a fear that if they think the balim might come back, or if they're thinking the balim might come back, they're just going to, what? They're just going to take whatever the field plants, and they're not going to put a lot of money into the field, because they can't get out anything from the field if the balim show up. So that's what Chazal say, no, there, you can run in and grab as much fruits as possible. When you hear the balim come back, you can try to take out whatever you can beforehand in order that you don't have, that the person has an incentive to invest in the field, because he knows he won't lose. Because either he'll get all the fruits, or if the balim show up, he'll grab as much as he can, and he'll get reimbursed for his investment. So both those are incentives to get them to work the field properly. Now, the Gemara's question, where it says, Ella, right, why is this, Maishnah mehadetanan, why is this different than the Mishnah? Motzi otzaoto nifse yishto. Someone who invests in his wife's property is nifse melug of his wife, meaning that he's entitled to the leasehold, to the output of the property, so he invests to get output. So hotzi arbe v'achal kima. If he invests a lot and his output is very small, or kima, he puts a little in, v'achal farbe, and he gets a great output. That's the whole purpose of having a leasehold. That the woman owes you nothing in terms of the field. You get the output of the field. If you get lucky, put a little in, get a lot out, great. If you put in a lot, get nothing out, that's your problem. Meaning that's all on your cheshbon. That's not on the cheshbon of the woman. So that's what the Gemara is asking over here. Why should, in the case of the mace, where he goes down to work the field, on the assumption that he's not getting paid like a mace, he's paid getting the output, meaning that he's getting all the payroll. He's like almost like Nichsei Maluk over here, right? If he's almost like Nichsei Maluk over here, according to Tosfos, this is why he doesn't like Rashi's interpretation, that the person who goes down like a mace gets paid out like an aris, then the cases don't match up at all. But rather, if he's not getting paid out at all, right, he's getting the fruits in the back end, why should he get paid like an aris up front? It shouldn't be. And that's the answer. He doesn't get paid out like an aris in the front end, because he's just like a husband investing in the same maluk. When you invest in the same maluk, whatever you get, you get. Whatever you don't get, you don't get. Right, so that's...
And you're entitled to all the payrolls.
Right, you are entitled to all the payrolls. Right. Ah, look, but that's your intention when you go down. I mean, that's important also. Because it might be by the aris that you get all the payrolls also. But because when you went down, you only went down assuming that you're going to work like an aris, then you get paid back if the balim show up early. Right? Halo dam, you know, it's not comparable. Aha, right, the dam. We have this. Amotzi otzot al nechse yishto. Someone who invests in his wife's property, tana. Kemotzi al nechse acher dam. It's as if you invested on someone else's property. Why? Because alma, kevet lo sam chodate. Since he doesn't rely, right, on his, he's not so mechadat on this, takinu le rabbanon, keheichad lo lefsidino. Therefore, the rabbanon were metakein for him that he will get the money out. What's the problem by ketana? Problem by ketana is that here, it's a ketana that's not marrying the oraisa, so it's not her father marrying her off, her father passed away, it's her mother and her brother marrying her off. She's able to walk away from the marriage without any get by just doing meal. So she does meal and they dissolves the marriage. So the husband's always in fear of the marriage dissolving. So if that's the case, when he invests in the property, right, we don't want him to let the property go to waste and say, I'm not going to invest in this property because she can always walk. No, rather we say, listen, you invest in the property and we're going to pay you out on the property because you're like a third party that's entered over here, an independent party that's dealing with the property. So it says, since he's not sumech dat on the woman to pay him back or to get the value out of the property, in this case of Tano, we say we make sure that he gets something. Make get something. So also over here. So over here also, according to Tosas, what was the takana? Takana said he can grab as much as he can before the balim show up. They're also metakin over here to give him that clearance so he doesn't lose out. Right? So that's the whole purpose of that takana, is to protect him so that he will invest in the property. But in the case by the non-mace shavui, where he goes down like an aris, there we don't have to be attacking for him because Mikar Din is getting it paid out like an aris, and therefore there's no need for this extra takanat rabbanan. Right now, v'chulan shamin lahen ke aris. So now that we made a statement before, okay, now we assume that it's a place to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in that middle case in Nitushim, but it also says v'chulan. That word of chulan, what does that come to include? Chulan lezuyeh ma'ay. Had the Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel comes to include this case of Nachman Amar Shmuel Shavui Shnishba. Right, when it comes to Shavui Shnishba, Moridin Karov Nechasav Yatzal Adat. If he leaves voluntarily, Ain Moridin Karov Nechasav. And then we don't bring a Karov down the Nechasav, because over there again, like we said before, that's Ritushim. And if he didn't give instructions, we assume that he doesn't want anybody going down there. Rav Nachman Midei Amar Boreach Ariu Kishavui. Someone who runs away has the same din as a Shavui. Where it says, Boreach Machmat Mai. Why is he running away? Ilema Machmat Kargo. If he's running away because of the impending head tax that he's going to have to pay, right, out of the dot. I mean, he's not in, he can leave beforehand. He can leave a week beforehand, a year, you know, a month before it's due. And he's not under pressure by the cargo. He'll take off when beforehand he can do this. He's planning this. If he's planning this ahead and it's premeditated, and you can't say that the borech is kishavui in that case. Ela borech machmat mardin. He is running away because of mardin. What does it mean, mardin? So that's the case here. Sharagat nefesh. He killed someone. He's afraid that the Persian law, where they're living, he's going to be put to death for this this killing that he did. So he's running away, or he's trying to run away from the government, right, from the enforcement of the enforcement officials that are going to come and grab him. So there he's under duress, because if he doesn't leave, he's going to be killed. So in that case, he's classified like a shabui, because there he doesn't have time to plan and to give instructions about his field. There he's like a person, a shabui, that runs to the Medina Tayyam. Right now, so just in summary, right, Rashi believes over here that if you go out to be like a shavui, you go out to Medina Sayyam, then you die, and you're classified as a shavui. Over there, according to Rashi, the whole takana, or the whole flow of this gemara, is that the takana is that you get paid out like an aris. Right? That's what the takana that the gemara is referring to, is you get paid out like an aris. On the other hand, you get paid out kol peirot, right, in the back end. That's the way Rashi learns it. And in the case of tushim, where it's a shavui, which doesn't have what? Which doesn't have a rumor that it was mace. Doesn't have information that it was mace, that the person was mace. In that case, Rashi says that you get paid out on a aris, both in the front end and the back end. You get paid out on a aris entirely. The other hand, Tosfos says no. When we talked about the takana over here, when we talked about the takana of a shavui, which is he went out to Medina Sayyam and was shema shemace, in that case, you get paid out all the fruits in the back end, but in the front end, you don't get paid anything. And you're, what the takana chamim that referred to here is the takana that you have to grab everything, right? You can grab everything before he comes back. If you hear that he's coming, you go and grab everything. On the other hand, if it's a shavui, according to Tosfos, if it's a shavui, you get paid like an aris, meaning that in the front end you get paid like an aris, and in the back end it seems like you might get all the fruits, you might get everything. Right, so these are all the different verbs for harvesting, meaning that he's leaving finished crops, crops that are basically finished. So he's at, he has produce, or he has grapes, dates, olives, that are all ready to be harvested. Beitin yodim nechasav umadim apichopus. Beis Din goes down on his behalf. They have put an executor to take care of his estate right now. And bekotzer, potzer, goder masek. They harvest. They take care of the fruits. V'acharkach moridim karov nechasav. Right, so then afterwards, then after that point in time, we bring in a karov to take care of the property. Tomorrow says, "Velukim apitropodu," right? The olam. Why don't we assign, if we can find somebody, an executor, to go down and take care of the property on his behalf in the front end when he's doing the harvesting? Why don't we allow that to persist later on? I mean, why do we make that only a temporary situation? And then afterwards, we bring in the karov. Why don't we say, put in apitropos, put in a right? Put in a representative of the court forever, because then, you know what, the Balim will be in a much better situation. Balim will get everything. By the representative of the court's doing on his behalf. Maybe they get compensated for their hotel, but otherwise, there's nothing there. Mar says, Apitropa l'dignani lo mikminon. By when it comes to people, let's call them older people, right, and the basin doesn't assign an apitropa, we can't get messages to go in. Why is that? What's the situation over here? So as Rashi says, that Bishlam Aliyatme, when we're talking about Yitomim, then you could, the court announced we need a representative person to be an executor on behalf, representative on behalf of the Yitomim. So over there, the court makes that announcement, people will show up and volunteer. Why? Obitropus the Dvar Mitzvah. Over there, a person will do it because there's a mitzvah to take care of the Yitomim. So a person will be willing to come in and do this work, and work on behalf of the court, because he thinks he's also doing, not only is he at the court, but he's also doing a mitzvah of taking care of the Yitomim. So that you can do. But when we're talking about older people, meaning that, we're not talking about Yitomim, we're talking about a regular person, in that instance, there's no incentive for someone to be an apitropos on behalf of the court, because he's not really getting paid. On the other hand, he's not really doing a mitzvah, in the sense that, it's not that he's taking care of Yitomim over here. So in that case, they won't. You can't find an apitropos to fill in.
You do find it's because if the only thing that has to be done is the harvest.
Right, that people
so
want
to. There's also a mitzvah, like a Shabbat Tevidah or something.
Right, exactly. There is. There's a Shabbat Tevidah there, which is that's the difference we saw before between Perot LaHarkiv.
Yeah.
Right, when the Perot are there to rot, where we do come in and take care of it, that's our Shabbat Tevidah. On the other hand, when the field lays fallow, right, then we can say, what? That's just lost opportunity. That's not necessarily a loss. Right, nevertheless, we still pass, because even though they're separate issues, we pass in that we are morid karov nechasav, that's only karov. Because there, the karov, we can has some sort of incentive to be in there, because he might have, in the end, end up with the property. So that's enough of an incentive to get the karov there. But to get an apotropos there, that we can't find. Nobody's going to be willing to do that. So again, right, in the case
of...
willing
to do it in the short term, but not for the long term.
Right. Well, the short term, because, like David's explained also, there's an Indian of Hashavat the Veda. There's loss. There's imminent loss. So they're willing to do that. Or you told me in where there's a mitzvah involved, they'll do it for the long term. When it comes to a regular person, come in and work the field every year and not get paid out, that we can't find people to do that. That's just not...
Although we could have, Chachamim could have been with Takeda Takana, but also get paid, like or something.
Right, they could have done that, but they figured the better way to do it is to get the karov in where it's two, there's a other side of the coin. He'll get it anyway, right, so why not put that person in there? Alright, so in Amar Rav Huna, Emor Ilin Katan, Ninichsei Shavui. Alright, we don't bring in a katan into a nechsei shavui, meaning that if there are nechazim of the shavui, and now we only have a katan karov that's here, we don't let the katan go down and take care of it. Below karov, the nechsei katan, we also don't let a karov go into the nechazim of a katan. Below karov, machma karov, nechsei katan. And a relative, we also don't let go in because, into the nechsei of a katan. We'll explain that in a minute. Now, ein moridin katan nechsei shavui, we don't let a katan go down into nechsei of shavui. Dilma mafsiduhu, because maybe they'll cause a loss here. Maybe they won't allow the, maybe they won't take care of the property because they're not of age. Or if they bring someone else in behind them as a third party, then we don't know if they're going to bring in the right party or because they're going to instruct them to do something and they're going to have to listen. So we say bring in a third party. We know for sure we'll take care of it. Velo karov machma karov nechse katan. What are we talking about here? Velo karov barov karov nechse katan. Bachei meima. What does that mean? Be'achei mi'ima. So this is a case that this is a person who is an ach mina aim, right? Lachiv shokatan mina av. Right? We don't allow a person who is a brother. So for instance, there's a katan here, and he has a brother. He has a brother through his father. Okay, he has a brother through his father, and that brother, all right, in addition to being his brother, has a separate another brother, another half brother, but another half brother through his mother. So what's the problem over here is if we let the individual
who is the brother of
his brother come down into this property, right? Then our fear is that then they could look at the property. There are two possibilities of how this brother came into the property. His brother, how did his half-brother come into the property? One possibility is through the father, right? Which is that the katan, they're sharing the property because their father gave them a property, and therefore the katan, who's unable to take care of his property, and his half-brother are the ones entitled to it, his half-brother's taking care of it. But the other possibility is how this half-brother came into the property is that his mother passed away or something came from his mother. If it came from his mother, right, then he has the property, but who's entitled to the other half? His brother through the mother, and not this katan that's over here. So what's our fear is over time, this brother will sit in the property, and then later on, they'll come and somebody will say, oh, Katan says, let me have my property back. They say, oh, it didn't come from our father, it came from my mother. It came from my mother, it belongs to Ach Min Aim and not right, Ach Min Av. So that's why we don't allow, in a situation where we have a suspicion. Right, exactly. So we don't, when we have suspicion that the Chazakah can go against the Katan, we're not going to let somebody come in there and work the property with the possibility that the Katan will end up with nothing in the back end. Is that Kevin? The other why below karov nixay katan? That'll be the same reason over here. Why don't we let a karov come into nixay katan? Came to the mafi at the zuke. But problem is that if we let a karov come in and the katan's not there, what the person will work it for 3 years, right? If he works it for 3 years and then the katan was never mocha during that period, because the katan doesn't know to be mocha, right? So there's no mocha, right during that period. There's no mocha during that period. Then he'll just claim it's a chazagat. I got it from your father. And that's it, he won't be able to get the katan back in there. If we bring in a third party, right, then we have an easier time, because he could just say, you know, listen, as Tosa says in this, here there has to be a sale.
Beidin appoints, so the Beidin appoints.
Right, either Beidin appoints it, or if there had to be a sale, the katan will ask about a sale. But when it's a karov, the katan will just assume he's right, because his father has given it to him. And there's reason for him to have the property without actually seeing having an open sale or having a kalov. It's like that there was a sale out there. Right now, do it. Okay, Amar Rava, Shvami Naami Drabuno. From Huna we can see, Ein machzikin b'nichsei katan. You can't be machzik. There's no such thing as a chazaka b'nichsei katan, but feel we deal. Even if they come of age. Meaning that you can't have a chazaka in nichsei katan. That there's no way, if without any documentation of a sale or anything like that, you can't just say, why do I own this property? Because I have a chazaka on the property. Say, well, you have a chazaka on the property of a katan? Doesn't work. Why? Because we see that Rav Huna over here just differentiated. He said we don't let a karov go in there, because a karov could have a chazaka on the property. On the other hand, who do we like to go in there? We allow a third party to go in there. Now, if we allow a third party to go in there, that must mean that the third party can't claim a chazaka on the property. Because if the third party could also claim a chazaka on the property, what's the purpose of letting a third party go in there? If you let a third party go in there, he could cause a loss to the nechse katan as well. So it must be, by nechse katan, we don't allow a chazaka to go through. Right?
Why don't we let it go off?
Because there we think the chazaka will stand.
Papi told me, you just said that if it's a katan, it won't stand.
Right.
No, the katan will go along with it. He won't.
Right, he won't question that the karov.
The katan won't
question him at all. But by a third party, he will question. Tosis deals with your question over here. There's a long Tosis over here. Shmami Nami to Rav Huna. What exactly, he says, what exactly is Rav Huna teaching us? Because he says, we have other Mishnayot that tell you that we establish apitropsim for nifsei kadyotomim, not just this price. We have open Mishnayot that you're allowed to extend up an apitropos for nifsei kadyotomim, so it'll be obvious that they don't get a chazak on there. So he says that what we learn out from Rav Huna is from these other cases of apitropos for nifsei kadyotomim, maybe we don't know that you could stop, that a chazaka doesn't work by a katan. What are we going to say? We're going to say that even if you do say a chazaka, we're going to differentiate between a katan when he looks at his when he looks at an apitropos, and a katan that looks at the karov. When he looks at an apitropos, he says, listen, I don't know how you came into possession. He's probably going to question it, and by questioning it, he's going to force him to bring a star rayo or bring something like that. On the other hand, when it comes to a karov, he's not going to question the position of the karov. So Rav Huna's addition over here is that even by an apitropos, even though we know the katan will question it, we still say there's no chazaka by a third party. And that's what Rav Huna adds over here. But if there ain't chazaka by a third party, means it doesn't work at all. And there's no chazaka by third parties. So now, Mar says, Lomran, now the Gemara is going to qualify all of the statement about a karov that can't come in. Lomran, elabachi de abba. Now here we're going to tell you about when it's a brother through the father. Aval be'achi de ima litlanpa. But it's a brother through the mother, then we don't worry about it. Then there's no issue over here, because he can't make a claim of a property, or he's not classified as a karov. Right, and when it comes to a brother, right, through the father, that's the only time about land. When it comes to a house, then we don't worry about it, right, because the neighbors know about the information. The neighbors are aware of what's happening over here. They're not going to let this go through. Right now, and even by land, we only say that the lo abid idita. That's only if there's no document documenting the division of the property. Aval avid idita, if there was a document, right, of splitting of the property between the different parties, kala isva, then there's a kala, then there's a kol. So here the Gemara just narrowed down the type of karov we won't let into the property. Number one, we won't let in only a brother through the father, because he can claim that it's Yerusha, right? On the other hand, right, Achim and Ima, there he can't make a claim of Yerusha, right? Because there's no, right? There isn't any Yerusha belonging to this his father. Then how does the Achayima come into this at all, right? Number two is we only say it by land, not by batim, because the neighbors will intercede. And also we only say it when there is no documentation of the division. If there's documentation of the division, then everybody knows about the division. Mar says Velohi. Mar rejects all of these assumptions. Lo shnachid abba, lo shnachid ima. Doesn't matter from the father or from the mother, the brother. We don't allow it to come in because of that problem. Because what's he going to say? He's going to say it came through.
I inherited
through my mother, and therefore I'm entitled to half the property. All right, it's mine. I'll give you back half, but the other half is mine because it came from our mother, not from our father. So we don't let him do it. Lo shnaratav, lo shnabate. We don't look at houses versus land. We don't rely on the neighbors to clarify this situation. Right, it doesn't matter whether they have a document of division or not. We don't allow him to go down. Wow. That's the only one that's questionable. I mean, with the others, you can see what the suspicion is. One, by the Achayimah, we know why he can make an alternative claim and it can cause him a loss. By the Shechinim, we don't rely on them to intercede. But you're right, by Yidito, when it comes to the Yibetah, Shtar, why shouldn't we believe it? And Tosfos says over here, right, Vim Tomar, the Bechezkar Abatim, and Yidito Kaleslo. It does work, so why are we rejecting that over here? So he says, Shol Shomar, Yitomim Echmiru Yoter. Tosfos says at the end, Tosfos says it has to be, it's unique Chumrah by Yitomim. So since it's a unique Chumrah by Yitomim, we don't let it go through. Hay Savta. So now we have a couple of stories here. Hay Savta. Davilat Slat Benato. She had three daughters. Ishtabai Ihi Bechad Brato. She was taken into captivity along with one of her daughters. Idach Tarte Benato. Two remaining daughters that were here, you know, present with the property. Shchiva Chad Minayu Veshavka Yenoka. One of them dies and she left behind a young child. Right? So now Amar Abaye Hechinavit. What are we going to do with the property over here? If we give all the property over to the daughter who's remaining, maybe the mother, right, the grandmother passed away over here. And we're not allowed to put a karov into nechse katan because what if the grandmother died over here? Then there's going to be a division among the daughters of the property. The daughter that died here, that's present here, has a child that is inheriting it. So they will be entitled to either one third or one half of the property over here, depending what happens to the other daughter who's in Chevy.
Is it? It's a granddaughter or a daughter?
It's a daughter. It's a daughter, but then there's a grandson that's born to the daughter who passed away. Right? There's a grandchild that is here that's missing from the daughter that passed away, who's local. So now, that grandchild is entitled to a part of the property. They're entitled to part of the property. We can't allow the one of the daughter who's here to go down into that property because ein machnisin karov the nixay katan. So nuknuin the nixay biyada de yonoka. So let's give all the property to the katan. So dilmalosh chiva sabda. Maybe the sabda didn't go. But ein moridin katan nixay shavui. And we just saw it before. You're not allowed to put a katan in charge of the property of a shavui. So now we're caught. We're in a catch 22. So I'm rabbi. So what do we do? Hilkach palga yevina lo laachto. We give half to the sister that's present, that's around and here. Vidach palka mukminen le'apitropa le'yanoka. And the other half, we assign a third party to take care of it for the child. Why? Because what are the two possibilities over here? There are a number of possibilities here, but what are the possibilities? Either the grandmother passed away. If the grandmother passed away,
so then they have an apitropos.
What? Then they have.
Then you would have an apitropos.
Right, we have an apitropos.
Well, that's it. One of the daughters get out.
Right, the daughters would get a portion
and then the
of
kids
it.
Get,
right, the portion. So now the portion of the kid is being taken care of by the apitropos. The portion of the daughter that's around here, she's taking care of for herself. Right? So we've solved the situation. Now, Rabbi Amar, Migo, the Mukminen apitropo, the palgo, Mukminen le apitropo, the itach palgo. Once you've already got an apitropos working over here for half of it for the Yanoka, may as well have an apitropos come in and take care of everything. Right? Let's sign an apitropos to take care of everything that's here. Now, the assumption is in this case that either if both Shvuyot died, if everybody died, the mother and the other sister and Shevi, they died. Right? So then the property would get split half by half. And then you have the daughter with half, and then you have the grandson with his half. The other half, other possibility is that neither of them died. If neither of them died, then all the property belongs to the grandmother. And maybe not Petropas and the other sister who's allowed to take care of her grandmother's of her mother's property. The other she's allowed to because she's a karov. Karov is nichnas le nefse shavui. As long as she's not a katan, she can go in there. So she can go and take care of her mother's property. Now the third possibility is that the grandmother died and the other sister did not die. So that means that the property is actually one third, and one third. So over there again, the sister who's around here, she can take care of her own property, her third, plus the additional sixth, she's taking care of her for her sister, which she's entitled to do. On the other hand, the other half, a third of it belongs to the katan, we have an apitropos taking care of it. And a katan can't take care of the sister who's missing his property, so we have an apitropos taking care of the other six that will be put together to make up the third for the other sister. So that's how it works. So, shamul shchiva sabto. So then they heard that the mother had passed away. Now we know the mother had passed away, we're not sure about the sister, right? The sister's in captivity. So I'm rabbi, tilta yavin on the achto, give one third to the sister who is present. Tilta yavin on the yonoka, give one third to the katan, because he's for sure, at a minimum, he's entitled to one third. We give one sixth to the sister that is present. We give one sixth. We put up an apitropos for the yonoka. Why? Because there are two possible outcomes here. Either the sister's alive, and each of them gets one third, one third, one third. The other possibility is the sister's dead. If the sister's dead, they get half and half. So in that instance, what do we say? We say, okay, at a minimum, the sister that's present gets a third. Give her a third. At a minimum, the katan that's present here, he's entitled to a third. Give him his third.
Why don't we put that apitropos for that third?
Because he doesn't need it.
You don't need it.
Right? He for sure gets it. It's his property. Okay. It's his property. I mean, Okay, maybe Beis Din has a nice thing, we'll put apitropis. But in terms of her property over the mother,
I mean,
we're not worried about
protecting the grandma or the sister, we don't need to put apitropis.
Exactly.
And if the kid can protect himself, then he gets
fine. Now, that last third is question mark. It either could belong to half to the Inoka, half to the sister that's present, or it can belong entirely to the sister that's in Chevy, the sister that's in Chevy. So now, what do we do? Now, in terms of, we can't allow the property, if it's possibly a property of the Katan, you can't allow anybody into that property. So that's the 1/6 of it, for sure we can't, because that possibly could belong to the Katan, or it could possibly belong to the sister that's around. So the Katan can't go into it, because he can't take care of the sisters in Chevy's property. The other hand, we can't let the right, the other sister take care of it, because you can't allow a Karol to take care of a Katan's property. That 1/6 we signed up Petropas for. The other 1/6, we say, it either belongs to the sister who's present, and she can take care of it, or it belongs to her sisters in captivity, and she can also take care of it. We let her take it at 6.
Depending on whether or not the sister dies.
Right.
And why don't we say what we just said, which is, if you're already going to appoint an apitropos for the 1/6...
Right. Oh, that's Rava's. That's Rava's opinion. You're right. This is Abaye's position. Rava Amar, exactly like you're saying, Jeff. Migo de mukim apitropos in danka, mukim de apitropos lead of danka. Don't split into 2/6. Just give that third, have an apitropos come in and take care of it. Why not? Right. Now, next case. Mari Barisik. Mari Barisik is an individual. He's sort of like a mafioso of some sort.
Right?
So that's Italian. That's a. All of a sudden, a brother shows up from Bechuzai. He left his father. His father lived in Bechuzai. He was married. And Mari Barisik came over here. All of a sudden, he has another guy show up and he says, I'm your brother. So he says, I'm like, Flugli, give me half of the property that you have from our father. I'm ready for my half. I have no clue who you are. So after the coming to Rav Chista, they came before Chista. He's right. You know, it makes sense that you don't recognize him, even though he is your brother. Why is that? Because Shneamar vayakir Yosef etachav emu yikiru. Yosef recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Why? He was a young kid when he left. He didn't have a beard. Meaning that he wasn't fully grown or developed when he left. And therefore, when the brothers come down to Mitzrayim, they see him, he's a full-grown man, he's got a beard, they don't recognize who he is anymore. On the other hand, right, they were already older when he left. So when they came, they looked the same as when they left. Right, so that's it. So when the time the brothers get down, he's already a different person. He says, it makes sense that Mari Bar Yisrael doesn't recognize you. Because how can he be Meshaveh between what you look like today and when he left? Go bring witnesses that you're really a brother over here. I'll bring witnesses, but we know Mari Ba'isik is part of the mafia. They're too scared to come testify, because we know what happens to witnesses that testify against Mari Ba'isik, right? They're no longer around afterwards. So he says, okay. So what does it do? He flips the case onto Mari Ba'isik and he says, go bring witnesses that he is not your brother. I mean, if these witnesses exist, that he is your brother, you go find these witnesses, bring them to court, and they'll testify that they're not your brother. Right? I mean, that if he thinks these two people are going to come, they'll testify that I'm your brother. So he says, go, you, Mari Ba'isik, flip the case, you go get those witnesses to testify that he's not your brother. Right? Because there, so he says, Mari Ba'isik says, okay. Samalai, do you know Achi? Is the dinch really supposed to be this way? Amosi mechaber lo varaya. He says, what do you mean? He says, this is my din for mafia. This is the way we do the din. All right, this is it. If you guys
are,
I say Samalai. He says, okay, no problem. He says, so. Atu Zade, I'm going to bring these witnesses that supposedly know that he's my brother. V'lom Zade. He says they're not going to testify. They know what happens to the guys who testify over here. So I'm going to go bring these witnesses, and they're going to testify on my behalf and say that he's not the brother. He says they won't do it. He says, witnesses may not come and testify on behalf of someone against you. But what they won't do is, if you're the mafia, they won't come and testify falsely. I mean, they will, if you bring him to court, and then you're imposing on them to lie and say that he really isn't your brother, that they won't do. Says witnesses are willing to not show up of fear of the mafia, but they are not willing to show up and then lie about something that they know is not true. So he says, the sof atu sade, dahu, they showed up and they testified that it was his brother. So he says, Amalei, so he's now this guy, this brother of Mari Bar Yisik, is, you know, he feels like he's on a roll. It says, Isaiah says, "Amar lifliknami b'pardesayu b'stonai deshakal." Give me half of the orchards and the b'stonai, the plants, you know, meaning the tree areas that you planted, and all the fruit trees areas, the pardesim, these orchards. Give me what you guys planted. You improved the property of our father. I want half of that. I don't just want half of the property. I want half of all the investment you made into the property as well. Zamalei shaper kamaloch. He makes sense. What he's saying to you makes sense. Why? It's not. If you leave children that are both, you have people minors, plus you have people over the age, and the older kids take care of the father's property, then when they take care of the property, they split it. I mean, the gdolim and the ktanim get a portion of the property. And Rabba also says that it's also the same halacha over here. Rashi changed the girsa to read Rav because of some problems. Tosfos upholds the girsa. It's not necessarily so relevant to our Gemara, but you should know that there is a girsa, possible girsa change here. So Rabba Levi, what do you tell you? Are you comparing the case? Right, that when it was the gedolim ktanim, when they went into the property, they knew that they had brothers that were minors. So when they went into the property, they knew that they were investing in the property for everyone. Become achli, and they're mochel on it. Hocham yada delechel. So over here, how does he didn't know he had a brother that when he was investing, he was going to have to give up the money. A galgal milsa matle coming to Rav Yami. The halacha or the psak of Rav Chista get back up before Rav Yami. Amalehu gedolah mizu amro. We have been better than this. Shamin lahem garis. Right. So in a case where we have a korov go down and take care of the property, we say shamin lahem garis. They get paid out like a sharecropper.
So the older brother would be paid as an
at least, I mean, over here, so there, hashka today, lo yavin and lay, right? So over here, you're not going to give him, right, what belongs to him, right? What he's in entitled to? No, he gets his half for sure. And the other half, with the brothers entitled to,
he should get
as an aris at least. Meaning that, why are you handing it to him for free? He should get paid out as an aris. So Drua kamei Rav Chisda. So that's Pesach of Rav Ami came back to Rav Chisda. I'm like, oh, midomi. How can you base the case? Hotom b'shut nachit. Over there, the karov goes down with permission, meaning that the reason that he's allowed in there is because there's persons in Chevy, and he goes down, he takes care of the property. Over here, Mari Ba'isik went into the property, he wasn't necessarily entitled to go into the property. Yeah, he has a brother, but who entitled him to go take care of the implant in the brother's property? Vod, katanu. Number two is that the brother that was away in Chozai was a katan. That's the whole case here. That's why he didn't recognize him when he came back. He's a katan. Vein moridin karov, the next day katan. So Mari Ba'isik had no right to go into the property to take care of him on behalf of the brother. So Adrua came to Rav Ami. That sacrifice of Christa came back to Rav Ami. Lo semu kamai the katanu. That piece of the halacha, that piece of the issue, the case, was not clear to me that he was a katan. I mean, that piece is missing. That ain't achanami. If he is a katan, then you run into this issue that, okay, maybe Rishut, lo Rishut, maybe you can make a case for it. But over here, if he's a katan, you're right. Ain't more. Then he had no permission to go in there. If he had no permission to go in there, then we can't entitle him to any payment. All right, let's stop over here.